Hi, Ragini here, and welcome to part 3 of Module 8, The Power of Right Relating in Your Daily Doings. And we're starting off here with a quote from David Bohm, a physicist, very well known, which helps us to understand that all of life is essentially a relationship, not necessarily between two people, I think it's important to understand here, but a relationship between every two things in a universe full of duality. We have to understand there is always a relationship going on. So from this point of view, life is a relationship between you, the perceiver, and a multitude of things that come into your awareness, be it something from the external world, be it a physical sensation, be it an emotion or a feeling or a thought in your mind. Whatever it is, the whole issue here is changing the way we look at things and seeing them through the lens of relationship, which is really what this training has been about, changing your relationship to the fundamental nature of relationship. In our world, that's the relationship between opposites. So don't worry if this doesn't mean anything to you. This is David Bohm, the physicist. It's heady language, but it's also quite, really says everything that we've been talking about in this training, which helps us to see that we're on the right track as far as understanding the power that we're looking for in life rests in the way we relate to what comes our way. So this is called right relating, right? And we're going to look at right relating through the lens of paradox, obviously, and opposites. So right relating means remembering that you are part of the larger living system. This right relating is how you understand and live relationship, and that means how you understand and live your perception of the way you relate to everything that comes on your path. Right relating requires attention to all areas of daily life because we're always in relationship to something, a thought, a feeling, an emotion, a person, a pain, an object. The mystic's eye supports your right relating by helping you embrace opposites, impermanence, and paradox. Understanding right relating in this way can be incredibly valuable when you're out in the world. Right relating brings you the creative edge more easily into your awareness that you're on in your journey, and it also gives you the courage to risk living that edge with aliveness. So it opens up a whole new realm of possibility when you bring the wisdom of the power that rests in the way you perceive things. That's where your freedom or your imprisonment lies. It also helps you to balance your outer and inner worlds and to balance the movement and action in the world with the stillness and the presence on the inside to what is. Right relating can be incredibly powerful, and it's something that grows and evolves as well, but it gives you a more accurate way to chart your course through the challenges of the day. Why? Because you're looking at it from the fundamental level of opposites, impermanence, and paradox, and also all viewpoints being valid and incomplete. It also helps you to keep continually moving between balance and imbalance and not clinging to balance as a place to be rather than a verb, something continually in motion. It also directs you to the riches and the most expansive life experiences for yourself and others because it's an expansive view. It takes you beyond what the average life experience has been for you in the past and reveals more. There's more to it than you might have thought. So again, right relating is remembering that you are part of a larger system. When you remember that, what it makes the highest priority for a marketplace mystic is remembering that oneness is hidden inside all duality. When you can make your relationship around under using that way of relating to opposites, it changes everything. And it also makes the highest priority opening to glimpses from what life is like from a higher stage of consciousness than the one we are at when we are setting up what we like against what we dislike. You now know there is more than that. There is another way to go through your daily life. So right relating has 5 aspects. It may have more than that, but here's 5. One is embracing the multiple levels of reality that we've talked about. How do you relate to those? Inner versus outer and horizontal versus vertical. You want to look at what is your relationship to these multiple levels of reality and how do you navigate them. A few more: personal versus consensus, your ideas versus the consensus reality, material versus spiritual, depth versus superficiality. Again, all unresolvable dilemmas, all interdependent polar pairs. Your relationship to these can cause you to collapse or delete them or to embrace them. And that's the issue here. Are you collapsing levels, deleting levels, or are you embracing both of them? Just notice what you're doing. That's all you really have to do, is notice what you're doing, and it will tell you what to do next. The second aspect here is discerning truth from beliefs. This is a difficult one because, of course, there are relative truths, that's your own truth, and then there's absolute truth. Again, this is an interdependent polar pair, but you just want to be able to tell the difference between your truth that's personal to you and a truth that is universal to all people. This is not easy because people really oftentimes don't understand relative truth is just about you. It's not about anybody else. It applies to you, and it may not be at all truthful for another person. Scientific versus psychological truth. When I was talking about the sun revolving around the earth, which would be psychological, scientific would be the other way. Known versus unknowable. We have known versus unknown, and known versus unknowable. You want to be able to find out what your beliefs are about truth and discern your beliefs from an actual truth that is more absolute or universal. Just so you know the difference, your beliefs about mind and soul versus whatever the truth might be about mind and soul. But Thomas Paine, one of the founding fathers or forefathers in America, once said, "But such is the irresistible nature of truth, that all it asks and all it wants is the liberty of appearing." Isn't that beautiful? I just liked that, so I put it in because I thought it was so nice. So essentially, you have to open to believing that there is something beyond your personal beliefs and values, because a belief and value is just that. It's not a truth. It's a belief. It's a value, which is a closely held belief. Truth, if you're looking for absolute truth, is beyond your own personal relative truth. It's a really tricky thing, but it's really helpful once you start opening to that and understanding it, discerning the difference between your belief and a truth. When you can do this, you will open to larger truth beyond the perceptual capacities of the mind, and this is the truth that your mystic eye shows you about opposites. It shows you a larger truth about opposites that your mind has had a very hard time perceiving. And when it does perceive it, it kind of stills it and makes it quiet, which is something we all like. Okay. As I said, this larger truth is beyond the perceptual capacities of the mind, but it's still knowable by you, right? Because there you are, your mind is still, and you're in the presence of a larger truth. Well, there you go. That's pretty cool. You have it in your own experience. So here's a quote from a modern-day mystic. "I believe what I believe because the truth itself is not yet mine to know." Now, that's a distinction that's very helpful to make, that whatever you believe is just a belief unless you know for sure that it is the truth. And that's tricky. As I say, once you really start investigating truth and beliefs, get a little bit reticent to say you know the truth. Okay, the third aspect is the role and impact of conviction. William James said, "I will act as if what I do makes a difference." And this is what a lot of us need to be doing. We need to act as if what you are doing is making a difference, whether you know it is or it is not. It makes a difference because conviction changes everything. However, you do need a little doubt to go with it to keep it balanced. Carlos Castaneda, a lovely quote from, I believe it's Don Juan in one of the early Castaneda books, says, Don Juan says, "With impeccability, do what needs to be done as if it is the most important act in the world, at the same time knowing it does not matter at all." Now, using as if in such a way to balance such a paradox is such a powerful tool to help your mind relax with paradox and to allow it to know that it can embrace it and live with it and navigate it and find greater peace and happiness. And it also supports your survival. It highly increases your probability of surviving. Holding conviction and doubt as equally valuable, equally valid, and equally incomplete. Again, these two go together like a hand and a glove. Conviction and doubt make life much easier, and it keeps you safe from making your beliefs into solid truth for everyone. Maybe solid truth for you, but be careful if you try to make it for everyone. Okay, the fourth aspect is holding purpose as a verb. This allows purpose to be fluid, to grow, to move, to shift and change, and it allows purpose to be reshaped by the experiences of your journey. Sometimes purpose gets very concretized into a thing which you must reach and live out, but actually purpose wants to burn with responsiveness to the changing times. You know, it's filled with vision and imagery, and it needs to burn with that and allow itself to be reshaped so that it can be sustainable. So if you're holding your purpose as a thing, try out, check imagining as if what it would be like if it were a verb. See what it feels like. And the last aspect is keeping your identity fluid and multi-leveled, not letting it get attached to any particular, guess what, role. The human experience is filled with roles to play. But what you want to remember from this training specifically is that your divine self is the unique you playing the roles. No role is you. You are what is playing the roles. So this keeps your identity fluid and multi-leveled. Hermann Hesse once wrote, "Every man is more than just himself. He also represents the unique, the very special, and always significant and remarkable point at which the world's phenomena intersect, only once in this way and never again." Let it sink in. Just like your thumbprint, you are unique in all the world, and there is nothing you can do about that. Love that quote. So it brings us to the close, I believe, of this particular presentation, which ends with the recognition that I is a verb, and most of us think of it as a noun. I believe this sentence is attributed to Bucky Fuller, but I is a verb is a very, very, very different way of looking at yourself, who you are. So ask yourself, would experiencing yourself as a verb rather than a concrete person change how you perceive yourself, how you feel about yourself, how you think about the future, and how you relate to life in general? Who you believe you are is very important, and if you keep in touch with it, it can lead you to the truth of who you are. Okay, that's it for this little video, and I will see you in the next one. We've got a couple more to go. All right, much love.